You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national, all the issues, man, and we cover down on them like the dude just said. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, it's Friday. Fri-yay, we like to say around here, and the boomer is on the board. Hey, bud.
It's Fri-yay. There we go.
Fri-yay!
Yes, we made it.
Have you got all that on one button now?
No, it's not on a button. It's on multiple buttons.
happy Good Friday to you too, by the way.
Yes, it is a good Friday.
Yeah, it is. And it's so, yeah, happy Good Friday to all of y'all out there as well. So, and we got a great show laid on for you. So at 3 o'clock today, Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, be here to discuss sort of the State House roundup. There's been a lot of activity. I actually like some of the legislation coming through the Alabama State House right now. So we'll talk about some of that within the Triple Dipper, but also with Stephanie Smith, president of Alabama Policy Institute, at 3 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, y'all want to stay tuned for this one. So yesterday, the report on Afghanistan came out, right? So-called report. The revisionist history report. For the Biden administration on Afghanistan. It's back in the news right now. It's quite the topic. And I thought, you know what? It's time for an update. So Dr. Ron Lee from Operation North Star. Operation North Star is a group of folks who are committed first to rescuing U.S. citizens trapped behind enemy lines when the debacle of a pullout occurred. And then they've continued their work helping Afghans become refugees in the Western world. So at 4 o'clock today, Dr. Ron Lee, his organization is Operation North Star. He'll be on with us at 4 o'clock. And then I got a whole triple dipper on this Good Friday. Hit it, buddy.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one on the Triple Dipper, State House Roundup. So the way the legislature works, they typically are in, we call it being in, on Tuesday through Thursday. Come Friday, we look back and see what kind of things have occurred down yonder in Montgomery on what we call Goat Hill, when the State House has all of its House and Senate members convening. So yeah, State House Roundup. New stuff, like maybe they're going to even do something about grocery tax this year. That would be cool. Number one of the Triple Dipper. Number two, the Afghanistan blame game. You are not going to believe who the Biden administration decided to blame for their debacle of a pullout. It boggles my mind how they can sleep at night, keeping a straight face. I've got good commentary off of Fox News from General Jack Keane. We'll unpack it with a few other things. And then we got that phone call with Dr. Ron Lee at 4 o'clock from Operation North Star. And then if we can get there, because, Lord, I got a lot of stuff. Killing Title IX. Killing Title IX. That's the number three piece of the Triple Dipper. Killing Title IX. The Obama administration just yesterday, issued new guidelines revising the so-called understanding of Title IX and allowing for transgenders nationwide to be able to participate, dudes participating in girls' sports. Yeah, that's going to go over, like, not very well. So, yeah, killing Title IX, number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my comments. Today is Good Friday. It's the opening of the Easter weekend, the celebration by those who believe that Jesus is Lord, that we have a moment in time that we can pin our salvation to. I can still recall some Easter weeks as a kid. I remember being part of church passion plays and Sunday services. I remember Easter baskets and the sense you'd hit the big time when you got one of those solid chocolate Easter bunnies and not those poser hollow ones. I can distinctly remember being 4 years old. We were stationed at Fort Riley, Kansas, waking up during the night, creeping over to the bedroom door because I thought I could hear the Easter bunny. And then thinking that I could actually see him, and then suddenly realizing I might scare him away and rushing back to the bed. Probably 4 years old, yeah. As time went on and I had kids of my own, I got to participate in some of that from the grown-up side. Because my wife has the gift of making any day special, Easter was no exception. Despite the fact that our children are grown, the annual traditions surrounding Easter still remain. Everyone gets an Easter basket because Charlene sees to it. In our house, coloring Easter eggs is still very much alive. And now that we have grandkids, the memories have hit a new pitch, and it's just good. And every year, we laugh at some of the same Easter memories, including the preschool Easter egg hunt at which my son Josh became an avowed conservative. So yeah, let me tell you a couple stories on this Good Friday that'll just warm your heart a bit. So the first one goes like this. My son Josh was 4. He's 34 now. He already had a competitive streak, though. Already super competitive. He came by it naturally. An Easter party was planned for his class with an Easter egg hunt as the main event, and Josh was excited. Man, he planned to scoop up as many as he could. So when the time came, my little man was off and running. He was a blur of activities. He literally ran himself into a sweat, just filling up his basket with eggs. While the other kids were moving at a leisurely pace, Josh got more and more excited as the fruit of his labors filled up his basket to the point that he literally had to cradle it in both arms to keep the eggs from falling out. And when the hunt was over, Josh had clearly excelled as a hunter of colored eggs. He blew the other kids out of the water, a clear winner. Now, all the baskets were then lined up side by side, and the children went inside for their party. But when Josh came out to collect his hard-won reward, he found that some well-meaning adult had decided a redistribution of the eggs was necessary to keep some of the other children from, you know, feeling bad. Most of his eggs, had been redistributed to other children. His basket now held no more than anybody else's. It was a classic case of redistribution of wealth, and in my own son's words, he says, at that moment, a conservative was born. We laugh at that story to this day. But the other story is the one that really captures more of the true meaning of Easter. So this one happens to have also had my son as a central character. He was maybe 3. He and Charlene were outside, and he was playing with something, and she thought that with Easter coming up, she would seize the moment and talk to him about the cross and the meaning of the season. So she got his attention, and she picked up 2 sticks and a piece of fresh green pine straw that was laying on the ground, and she began to tell him how important it was to understand that Jesus loves him no matter what, and that we may have Easter eggs and candy, but those were his happy things that we used to remind us about Jesus going to the cross. She told him that the cross was a scary thing, but that Jesus was brave and because he was God's son, and that he went to the cross just because he loves us so much. And all the while she was telling him the Easter story, she was taking those 2 sticks and that pine straw and using the straw to bind the 2 sticks together into a cross. And she told him how the cross didn't stop Jesus and that 3 days later he came back, and because he was so strong and brave that we can all know God personally now. Well, all the while she's telling our little guy this, she's using those 2 sticks made into a cross as a visual example. And then she said she saw the light go on in his eyes. He was looking at the cross in her hands, and he reached out to take it, and she thought to herself, oh my goodness, he understands. And she was feeling pretty solid right then. I mean, she was already a great mom, but now she was hitting like next level, right? Explaining the gospel to a 3-year-old, and he gets it. So Josh took that little stick cross, and he stared at it for a minute as if he was thinking it all through. And then he turned it sideways in his little hand, and he held it like a pistol, and he yelled, pow, 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 my son, my boy. We still laugh at that one. And in case you're wondering, by the way, my boy has grown up to be a gun-toting Christian conservative. That's just too funny. But I got to say, those memories and many more, memories that also involve my beautiful daughter, the new ones that involve my awesome grandkids, they only happen intentionally. By that, I mean they were intentional efforts at doing things that would then become memories worth keeping. And there are very few days in the year when the effort to mark a day and time can have more significance than those that surround the Easter weekend. But I want to encourage you to make those memories intentionally. It doesn't matter where you are or what your station in life happens to be. You can give your kids a giant Easter basket. That's cool. But a kid's also going to remember if you give them a pack of Easter M&Ms, even if you're just a neighbor or a family member. Where you are doesn't matter either. If God is universal, then so is the marking of time around the sacrifice and resurrection of his son. I have distinct memories of celebrating Easter on a FOB in Baghdad, and again of celebrating for just a few minutes with a few guys on my team in a remote corner of Afghanistan. Where you are and what you've got, it makes no never mind to him. What matters is the moment of celebration. And the moment when you pause and shut out the world and realize that you are actually loved no matter what, and that God proved it according to my beliefs by giving up his best, his son, his very son. That's huge. And I may love all of y'all in my audience, but I wouldn't give my boy for any of you. But God did that. So I'll encourage you with this as well. If you are able to be in church this weekend, do it. If you don't have just the right clothes, then find a church where it doesn't matter. Gather up with folks and make the intentional effort to spend some time acknowledging that this day, over 2,000 years ago, literally changed the history of the world, and that all time, B.C. and A.D., is marked by this day. And it can be yours. So make some memories, and my hope is it'll be as real to you as it is to my family. So happy Easter. He is risen. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I'm telling you, man. Raise that boy right, and my girl too, by the way. But when he took that little cross, turned it sideways like a gun, and yelled, pow, 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 it kind of it stole the moment. It was still cool. And by the way, he does get it. All right, you guys, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. I tell you what, I got a call on the line, line one. Brian from Huntsville. What you doing, Brian?
Well, I was contemplating some things about people saying, I said it once to my army chaplain when I was younger, before I was born again, I told him, happy Good Friday, and he said, wait a minute, let's talk. It should be a somber Good Friday because the happiness comes on Easter. And that was one of the things that eventually led me down to a path to where I could be saved again.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. That is actually a very good point. Still, being the beneficiary of the sacrifice, even the Good Friday can be a Good Friday. You know what I'm saying? Hate to say it, but there it is.
Precisely what it is. It is a good Friday because it set it up for the resurrection.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I don't know if anybody else that came back. So you have a good one, sir.
Thank you, brother. See you. And I don't know what kind of Easter traditions y'all had, but so Boomer, Easter traditions, your house. What kind of things over time?
Oh, we did the whole coloring eggs. Went to grandmother's house, found the eggs, and. I mean, it more so is just a family gathering of loved ones and being together.
Yeah.
I mean, just like for us, it was like any other. I mean, a lot like all of our other holidays, we just tried to be together as a family.
Well, you got a
big family,
a good size gathering there. Yeah, that's still very cool. And do y'all continue that now? I mean, now that I'm back,
we'll be doing that this weekend.
Grandma back here from Oregon, so
yes,
I say back here. She just moved here.
She just moved here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right,
so
very cool.
It'll be good.
I can remember, too, having Easter egg hunts, and then you want to play with your, you know, you want to go have more Easter egg hunts.
Yes.
So then you're...
Multiple.
You're, basically, real eggs are becoming toys, and at some point, it ain't working out real well for the eggs. You know?
That's right.
And there's a guy, what's his name? Alan Levi. Alan Levi, a recording artist out of Georgia, Christian recording artist, just really solid, kind of like a James Taylor vibe, you know, like a singer-songwriter vibe. And he wrote a song about like something like somewhere in August, finding an Easter egg that had been tucked up inside a tree branch, and it was still there months later. And just, he wrote a whole song about. In fact, Alan Levi was so amazing. He had a goal of writing a song a day.
Wow!
So basically, the man walked around looking for inspiration to write a song. Well, he found it in an Easter egg that had been left up in the tree for like 5-6 months. anyway, all right. Listen. We got tons of stuff laid on for this show today, and we're going to cover down on all of it. But if you want to text me in some of your favorite Easter traditions or memories, I'd love to see them. The number here is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I'm just curious some of the things. If you do anything different, or if there's some special event, or some way you did it, or some meal that always happened, or whatever, did you do something different about being a kid, did you ever like me wake up during the night and swear you heard the Easter Bunny? I did. I said that in my monologue a minute ago. I can still. I mean, I. So I was why was I four? I think I was four because we were living in Fort Riley, Kansas, in the quarters on base, on post. And I literally can remember going to the door of my room and looking down the dark hallway. And what is that? Do I see something? Did it move? Oh, wait a minute. What if I scare him away?
And then you go back.
It's like, holy cow, I might not get my basket. So anyway, I don't know how that whole thing worked. Is it like Santa Claus where if you see him, it might be all right? But is Easter Bunny just take it with him when he goes? But yeah, that's just funny stuff. And then those Easter egg hunts when our kids were little, you know, the kind, there was like the little kid kind, like has your little man done an Easter egg hunt yet?
Oh, yes. He loves his Easter egg. Oh, yes.
He's like, fast.
Similar to what you said about Josh, he had his school Easter egg hunt yesterday. Yeah. And Court, she videoed it. And man, when they said go, he took off.
Like Sonic the Hedgehog looking for eggs. Zoom, 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 zoom. Yeah, that's the way Josh was.
They did tell him that you could only collect so many before. So, I know.
What?
I know.
Like, so if you find 10, stop?
Yeah. So he was like, he was the first one done.
Well, that's not capitalism. That's, you're supposed to be able to receive the benefits of your labors, man.
I know.
Yes. That's communism is what that was. I know the school he goes to. I'm calling to complain. Yeah. Friggin' communist Easter egg hunt. Right,
let them get all the eggs.
Let the boys play. That's a line from oh gosh, what was the? I remember the Titans.
Oh yes.
Let the boys play, ref. Let them play. Let them play. Teach. Come on.
Hey, did you know that I still have not heard back from the March Madness winners?
Stop it. I mean, we got swag. We got swag in a bag here. We got stuff to send them.
Mason and Michael.
All right,
please
listen.
Please contact me.
Mason and Michael, you won the bracket. If you just don't want your swag, man, we got people out there. We will redistribute that wealth, all right? So you want it. If you want to donate it elsewhere, just let us know. But dang. You know, sometime soon, too, Boom, we gotta do a T-shirt giveaway for some reason. We'll come up with one.
Oh, we could do that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Like guest Boomer's birthday or something.
I like these new shirts.
Yeah, in fact, hey, how come you've got one and I don't?
I don't know. I just took it out of the backpack.
That changes today. I'll be working on my Jeep this weekend wearing a new Ruffian shirt.
Ooh, nice.
All right, we'll do it. All right, coming up in a minute, we got State House Roundup, number one of the Triple Dipper. There's been several things happening down yonder in Montgomery that I find to be extremely interesting, some of which are also very encouraging. Like, are they really going to do something about the grocery tax? Maybe. What are they doing about dudes wanting to play women's sports? That's on the table right now. How about occupational taxes? I think that one's got an uphill climb, but they're still working on it. So, yeah, all these things and more. And then top of the hour, Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, will call in, and we'll kind of square up on some of those details with her. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.